Thank you. So long, everyone. Oh, we got a crowd here today. You may be seated. We got a crowd of nations too, watching us. I believe they said 36, includes everyone. In the last 2 months, I want to show you this chart because the ones viewing our tapes has suddenly surged. If you can see that upswing, but here it's running ups and downs, and then here it's suddenly, all of a sudden, now in the last 2 months. See how far up it's gone? Almost. That looks like almost 100%. 400%, it says. And this includes every nation on earth. Isn't that marvelous? Yahweh is making a move, a great move. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Let me see if I can find where to start here. We're seeing a Chinese baby now born with syphilis every hour. Man, oh man. Well, this is what the world, the kings of the East, the way the kings of the East. If you remember last week now, I was talking about blood, eating of blood. This was the deception, of course, that's going on in the world, and how mankind has gone downhill, how he's actually just almost ruined his brain. And most of it's coming from the blood. But what I'm rejoicing about now is that the doctors and scientists are learning this now. And this the articles I have here for you is from 2006, I believe that's right. If I can find that article. It's 2006 that they have discovered, here it is, let's see, I wanted to bring you I believe it's 32 states have, in the United States, have filed bankruptcy, and of course, or they are bankrupt. They're not filed bankruptcy, but they are bankrupt. I want to assure everyone throughout the world, the United States is not going to weaken. The scripture shows it's going to be strong, clear up to the very end. So you don't have to worry about the economy in the United States. What you need to worry about is your salvation, because the end is very near. But now, what we were seeing last week and what I was trying to point out to you from the scriptures themselves is how we've ruined our minds by eating blood. And of course, Yahweh has fixed it in this last time period where his house could actually come out from the world. And so, you know, we have, he's given us the knowledge and wisdom and understanding to actually take ourselves out of the world, and more we're doing so. But the eating of blood, there's no reason for it anymore in the house of Yahweh. The blood is what's poisoning the people's minds, and of course the scriptures have shown this for years. But this, the warnings now that we're getting from news scientists, this is one. And the report says superbugs originating in hospitals are now increasing, being found in cats and dogs and in victims of bites. Now, of course, cats and dogs are both listed as unclean, and the scriptures list them as unclean. It says don't touch them if they're dead, their dead bodies, because then you can become a bondable by touching these. That is, you can get things that you can pass on to others and become sick yourself from it. Germs or bacteria that come from the paws, it's mostly the feet and paws of the dogs and cats. Now, these are not a new bacteria that comes from this. They're quite old, but now they're getting into humans, and they're getting into the hospitals first, seems like, and then they're spreading there to humans, and then throughout the world is this. As these articles that I'm going to read you show, it says superbugs originating in hospitals. Now, that is, they found them for the first time. They start finding them for the first time in hospitals. And there's a reason for this, because they're in the blood of the people now. And this is what is scary. You might have seen where, I didn't bring the article with me, but this woman had a cesarean birth, and she also had a quadruple surgery. They took off her hands and her feet, I don't know how far up, but they removed it to try to stop this infection. And of course, they are going more and more to cesareans, because they say that naturally, the natural birth now is spreading the disease from the mother to the child. Now, this is a little bit stupid, because the child already has it, and it's in the blood of the child already. So, but of course, this is one of the weaknesses of science. But they are getting over some of this now. It says pet owners need to be aware of the potential for transmission of infections from the pets, says the one man from the University of South Florida College of Medicine in Tampa, who has reviewed reported cases of pet infection with MRSA, an increase of pet-associated infections has been documented in the literature and has paralleled the increase in human MRSA infections, he says. Now, this was 2006, saw the first report of pets of USA 300 and an emergent community strain of MRSA in the U.S., and in the same year, researchers in Pennsylvania found that MRSA accounted for 35% of the 111 Escherichia samples originally taken from the cats and dogs, taken from their blood, of course. One study found, for example, that MRSA often occurs in simple skin infections in pets and can easily spread to the owners. Now, keep that in mind, because they were not made that way. Yahweh didn't make them to be contagious to you until they're dead. And, of course, after they're dead, certain parasites start leaving the body of an unclean animal, and you can touch it, and those parasites will get on you. And if you got any place where they can enter the skin, then they will do so and get in your bloodstream. There's a list of diseases. You can see it's quite long. Now, this is just from cats. The first one is from cats, from the top to there, that you can now get from your cats. The next one includes dogs, and it goes from that from here all the way down to there, and then all the way down to here. Now, that's just your cats and dogs. They're also finding this in pork, in beef, in rabbits, and rodents. And I'm leading up to showing you what this is they have found. It's not new. In fact, I remember it from years ago when I was reading the description of it, and I said, well, I know what that is. In fact, we were talking about it back in the 50s. Blood diseases and disorders, it says, may be due to decreased numbers of red blood cells. This is anemia. Now, this is showing, of course, the blood diseases in human beings and what it's causing. And, of course, this is in the blood. But we have about three or four pages of the things that they're finding in the blood now, blood disorders. And, of course, it's coming from somewhere. And we're the only ones on the face of the earth, seems like, except those who are turning and reading our literature, we're the only ones that's putting out the information anyway as to where this started. And, of course, if they check the records back to pass their discoveries, they'll find out that we're right. Rising threats of infections now. Never in my wildest dream did I think my dad would walk in for a hip replacement into a hospital and be dead in 2 months later. Well, of course, there was complications because infection set in. Well, where did the infection come from? I'll read you part of it if you'll just keep these things in mind. Not until Mr. Amberster died did a laboratory culture identify the organism that had infected him. Acinetobacter baumannii. The germ is one of the category of bacteria that estimates show are already killing tens of thousands of hospital patients each year. Acinetobacter and other organisms of its type, known as gram-negative bacteria, are evolving, but they're not evolving. They want to get their evolution in there. They want to deny the Creator, of course. But these are mutating, as I brought out before, and I brought out how they mutate. And a lot of scientists now are saying, yes, this is right. This is how they are making their changes and becoming a threat to the human being. Well, they are mutating and becoming ever more immune to existing antibiotics. In some aspects, it's far worse than MRSA, he says. There are strains out there, and they are becoming more and more common, that are resistant to virtually every antibiotic we have. The bacteria, classified as gram-negative because of their reaction to the so-called gram strain test, can cause severe pneumonia and infections of the urinary tract, the bloodstream. Now, if it can cause infections to the bloodstream, it can cause infections to your brain. Everything in your body runs off of your blood right now. So if it's in there and it has a way to get out of there and into an organ, it will find it. And other parts of the body, it says. Their cell structure makes them more difficult to attack with antibiotics than gram-positive organisms like MRSA. The gram-negative, if you ever see a picture of this, and a picture of it like I saw when they blew this thing up and had it in action, but it looks like it's a cell, but it looks like a balloon inside a balloon. Now, of course, there's a double layer of protection on this thing, and when something gets through the outer layer, the outer balloon, into between the two balloons, this thing has pumps. It actually has pumps that can actually expel that stuff rapidly before it can get through the second layer. Now, this is in something that if 100,000 of them was on the pin of the head of a needle, you couldn't see them with your naked eye. It's that small. But this is what we're fighting, these microorganisms. They're very small. Well, now we can see them and see what they're doing. But I do remember this, and when I was reading about it, I said, I know exactly what that is, but I knew where it came from because we were deeply involved at that time in the State Board of Health laboratories in trying to find things that the doctors and scientists could use. In fact, I was the one that took the blood from the sheep and the goats and cows and rabbits to ship to the doctors and to use in our own laboratory. But the life that's in this blood that Yahweh says is in the blood. Now these things they are now mutating. They weren't made to go to human being. The reason Yahweh made them for a buzzard or a cat, they are made to protect the buzzard or the cat. And in the stomach of a buzzard, there are a lot of killing agents. But if Yahweh had not built a bacteria to help digest and kill and digest the things that are taken in when they eat a dead animal, it would quickly kill the animal. So this little bacteria was invented by Yahweh to go into the stomach of buzzards, cats, dogs, and so forth. It's not supposed to be coming out of him until the cat dies or the dog dies. But of course, now, for some reason, these things are coming through the cat's hide, the dog's hide. Very often, you'll find it on the paws of cats and dogs, and as Yahweh calls them, those who go on all fours, places like that. But this little varmint that Yahweh put in there, he protects the buzzard and the cat and the dog. Now, it's almost like he's indestructible because if something gets through that outer shell, he quickly pumps it out. It is such an amazing thing when you see that. Well, now, I mean, it protects itself against everything, including the stuff that we make antibiotics from. So now we're getting this into human beings. And we have no way of stopping it. It wasn't meant to be in our bodies. It was meant to be in the cats and dogs and buzzards and pigs. But now it's in our bodies. And of course, the reason for it is the contamination of the blood that they're finding out more and more because they're studying and doing new tests. But the bacterium, as they say, the new bacterium spreads in hospitals. And this I wanted to read you because it says it also travels in the air now. The spores are resistant to disinfectants also and can survive in open areas for months. So this is what we're facing in today's world. The next one, deadly germs largely ignored by the drug firms because there is no money in them. They want to find manageable sicknesses. And they say this is where the most money is, where they can put you on, like AIDS, they can put you on a manageable program to where it costs. And that farm you worked all your life to get, they own. Well, that's the ways of the kings of the East. I praise Yahweh, it won't be in the new world. Now, if I can find my notes here now and tie this in with the actual scripture, because we see the same thing in scriptures that Yahweh told us to stay away from, and had we done so, it would have guarded us against everything that we're seeing here take place, that the world is now fearing. They're now seeing this stuff, and they're saying, you know, we've got to make a change here some way, but they don't know what to do. Of course, the only thing that would help, and it's not going to be an instant fix by any means, but it's the peaceful solution, character education. And of course, if we start now to implement this throughout the world, we could see a big change in just a few months. And more people now are now realizing this, and they're turning to the house, and they're listening and reading everything they can get from us. Praise Yahweh. Well, in avoiding deception, you know, it's a very deceiving thing when we let our appetites, you know, get the best of our common sense, and we start doing things that we know. We think in our mind, you know, it won't happen to me, but it's happening to everyone on earth right now. And of course, Yahweh tells you how to stop it. And if you go ahead and do it, you know, then that record is going to be against your character record, which means you won't be able to be trusted in Yahweh's kingdom. You would have to have a 24-hour guard over you to keep you from bringing harm to other people, because the ones that are doing this, they are bringing harm to themselves, and they're becoming a bondable, which means they can bring that same harm, which also means confusion. Get this now, boys, that this word you'll find that I don't think I'll get to it in this today's sermon, but this word that we translated harm in many places actually means confusion. And if you'll remember that when we're in your studies, then when you see this, you'd have to look it up, I think, in Strong's to find under confusion in order to find it and find where it meant and where it's used in scriptures. I don't know how we made that mistake, but we did. Yahweh says to Israel, he says, your diseases are incurable. he said this in Yeremia. He said in chapter 30 and verse 4, he says, concerning Israel and Yada. Now, I want you to remember all the time that I'm speaking, I want you to remember that Yahweh dealt with Israel for over 400 years. And he had a time of judges when they had great supervisors that he put with them. So he would take certain ones, and he shows that after a certain period of time, he would judge that person as unfit, and then he would send him out to the nations. But he did this in groups, in time periods, in groups, because there was millions of people there. So he would send them out, or drive them out, as he said. They thought they were going on their own because there's a good paying job down the road there in a place called Babylon or other places. So, but it was Yahweh that was doing this. These people were doing the same things that the world are doing today. They wouldn't turn from it. And they were bringing sickness and disease to themselves by breaking these laws. They were doing other things too, but I want to harp on the sickness and disease right now, because this was one of the things that disqualified them for the kingdom. Another one, of course, was breaking the Sabbath, not being a part of the Sabbath as Yahweh wants you to be. But the sickness and disease, these are the, we have defiled, he said, the earth, the land. Well, we know that. The veterinarians, you can go to any veterinarian right now, and he'll tell you a lot of the things that's in the earth that wasn't supposed to be there, but they are right now. A lot of the things that's in the water is not supposed to be there, including antibiotics and all kinds of blood diseases that are not being filtered out. And someone called me the other night to get some information because they were in, I believe it was Wisconsin, and they said that they were recycling the water. They weren't doing a great job of it, and they were using this to raise vegetables and also to water the parks where the children play. So you know, it's like they're so confused that they can't make a sensible decision anymore. Now, the confusion is what Yahweh calls it, but that word confusion covers a multitude of iniquities there that Yahweh says to stay clear of. The articles that I just read you show that the scientists now, our scientists, are in the United States and in other nations too, are seeing this, and they're seeing what we have done and saying, yes, we do need to make some changes, and we do need to be concerned, and our government is saying, yeah, we're concerned because you're concerned. Now, what do we do? So their hands are tied. Well, from what I understand, there are certain high officials that is looking at the peaceful solution, and they're saying, this is a great thing. Don't be surprised if they might show up here very soon and want to talk to different groups. You might even be talking to your children about what to say and so forth. I won't say any more on it, but that could take place. In Yochanan now, we turn over there, Yochanan 5, the Savior here I hope I got this right, yes, Yochanan 5, and this is what he tells you. And he says, sin no more. Well, of course, Yochanan 5:14, he says, sin no more, a worse thing come upon you. So this worse things than what this person had, and he's telling them, don't go out and sin again now, because sin is what's bringing this on you. That's one of the things he is telling you there. Sin is causing this to come upon you. Now, there's worse things that sin can bring upon you besides this thing that you were just healed of. So don't go and do it again. Yeshua also described it in another place as a house being swept clean. So the parasites come back and they find a home that there's no defense because they don't need a defense. The body hasn't supplied a super defense to fight them. So they take over. Now, this was classified as demons, but it's talking about breaking the laws of Yahweh that cause sickness and disease to come into your body. But he says, sin no more. If you saw the documentary called Food, Inc., there was the guy showed this hamburger meat, and he says, there's so many different kinds of meat in there. Now, I don't know what all he was referring to, whether he is referring to the bugs or just the different kind of animals, but he is saying there's so many different kinds of meat in there, you don't even know what you're eating now when you get this from these organizations. We have people checking just every day on supplies. In fact, we won't even buy them unless we can get the answer we want, and we want it in writing. But we're that diligent in working for you to try to make sure that anything that we have, praise Yahweh, and they are doing a great job. But one of our butchers told me that when he was working in a large butcher shop, he said, they're trimming this meat always, and they're throwing it in a tote there next to them. And there may be 200 of these totes down the line, some people working with pork, some with beef, some with beef and pork, but the trimmings are all being thrown into these totes. So here comes a order for, say, 100,000 pounds of hamburger, and they're short by a few hundred thousand, and they start grabbing totes to make the rest of the supply. And of course, he said, everything is in that tote, but they just throw it all together and put it in the pile. So that beef kosher hot dog that you got may not be beef at all, and is certainly not kosher. But let me tell you about the rabbis that pronounce kosher the foods in Israel. There's a newspaper in Israel that shows the amount of rabbis that are filed on every month and fined. They actually fine these men for saying something is kosher when it was not kosher. They got some other people. The state has inspectors like we have. They go behind some of these rabbis. They can't check them all. There's hundreds of thousands of them, and they're all over the world. And the same way here and in Canada. And I don't know whether a bribe would turn their head or not. I just know that they do say things are kosher that is not kosher. And of course, if you have a rabbi and you got him on the payroll and he's going to cause you to lose $1 million here because he said, hey, there's something here I can't pronounce this thing kosher. He's, buddy, you better, if you want your job, and find somebody to come in here behind you and say it is. Well, that can turn a lot of heads. But anyway, the Savior, he says, sin no more. The apostle said it too. If you'll turn over to Romans, the sixth chapter, Romans 6 and notice first verse 12. 6 and verse 12, he says, therefore, do not allow sin to rule your mortal body. Well, letting your appetite rule your body, you know, is sin. It's breaking Yahweh's laws. Letting your appetite cause you to eat something that the house of Yahweh has already told you, you shouldn't be eating that thing. That is sin. Verse 12, he said, therefore, do not allow sin to rule your mortal body so that you do not obey its sinful lust. Its sinful lust. And look on over to verse 16. For you belong to whom you obey here. Now, of course, that's whether obedience unto life eternal or obedience to Satan, which is definitely death. Now, with that, let's go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. The apostles, they could put out a lot more stuff on blood and the sickness and so forth than it meets the eye readily in the King James Version when you're reading the King James Version. But through some efforts, you know, you can find out what it's actually talking about. But look at verse 34. He says, awake to righteousness. Well, of course, righteousness is keeping Yahweh's laws, of course. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Here's another one saying turn from sin. You know, the whole foundation of Christianity is that you don't have to turn from sin. Just simply believe and go ahead sinning and you're bound for the kingdom. Now, they get this. Most people don't know this, but they get this from rabbis who became very popular in Israel after they were brought out from the land of Egypt. And those rabbis turned against Samuel, of course. They made their open stand in the days of Samuel that they didn't want the laws of Yahweh ruling over them. Now, these people that were well-liked, they became what was called Rabin. And, of course, that meant Lord. They became lords. Well, Lord, you know, had the power to help you after he ascended to heaven after the death of the Rabin that was on earth who they admired. Now, this was the lie, of course, that they got started, because the scripture, the prophets teach that when you're dead, you know nothing. You're not able to help anyone. Now, that's the scripture's teaching, the prophets and the apostles. They all taught the same thing. But in following after Christianity, they are following these lords, or as they call it, the Lord, the Rabin, who died, and they don't know this, most of them don't, but we brought it out in the prophetic word just recently that this is what it was. It's also in the book of Yisrael, and this is where they got started. Now, each one of these, if you remember, when they would die, they would dedicate a day of worship to that dead person, that dead being. Of course, they thought he had gone to heaven, so they started praying to him and asking for help. And one guy said instantly he got rid of a headache, and he cured a helm the next thing for him, and so forth. Well, of course, these are fairy tales, of course, about. But the where they get this is you don't have to keep the law. So they completely did away with the law, using their God, Jesus and Christ, which is false named for the Savior. And they actually put this in the Holy Scriptures, but there's information showing where it came from. But here the apostle Shaul, in fact, wrote this book and wrote others that they say did away with the law. Well, that's not what he's saying here. He says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. And this is true in every version. For some of you do not have the knowledge of Yahweh, and I speak this to your shame. So get this in your mind as we proceed here, because he's talking about a time and an event that is going to take place. Now, let's go back to, with that in mind, Yochanan again, chapter 8, Yochanan. And this, of course, is the Savior's work that it's speaking of here. Yeshua said, do not sin, and if you do not believe, you will die in your sins, he says. Chapter 8 and verse 24, chapter 8 and verse 24. Because of this, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you see the importance that he places on this right here, on he, his work, which you're all to be attached to, as the prophecy said in Genesis 48 and 49, showing the last days, thither your donkeys, speaking to Yeshua, thither your donkeys, Yeshua, to the branch. Well, some are going to be tied to the branch, but some are going to be, as the apostle said, died in their sin, dying in their sins, and not knowing the scriptures and not submitting, then they will die in their sins, and this will be to their shame, as he said. Well, now, remember that, and then remember what he says here. You will die in your sins. Now, let's go back to Daniel here, Daniel 12, because this is speaking of a time period that will take place very shortly now. It's not going to be long till this takes place. You know, nuclear war could begin almost any minute. I'm not expecting it. For a month or so, but it could break out just any time now. But here in Daniel, and remember what was said by the apostle Shaul and then also Yeshua, in Daniel 12 and verse 2, he says, and many of those who sleep, that is, are dead, in the dust of the earth, will awake, some of them to everlasting life, but some to shame. Well, this is what the apostle was speaking of here when he said they're refusing to learn these scriptures and believe in these scriptures. Some to, and this is their shame. This is to their shame that they're not doing this. They won't believe and won't humbly submit. But he says they will awake to some to life, but some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now look at verse 10. He says, many will be purified and made white. Of course, that if you could preach a dozen sermons on made white because of the fact that this takes some efforts. By Yahweh, he first has to set up a work. He prophesies that work before he sets it up. The scriptures show this. He will have no other work except the one he prophesied. Then he will set that work up in the time period prophesied for that work. And he will have no other work unless it is prophesied. No other work except the prophesied work. Well, he says, many will be purified and made white. This is through the work that Yahweh starts. That's the reason Yahshua said, this is the work of Yahweh that you believe in the one sent. Believe into the one sent. Well, praise Yahweh. Many will be purified and made white. Many will. In fact, we can see it coming now. We can see Yahweh making a move. He got everything in line. Look at the years in the wilderness that we've spent here. You know, bringing forth this work in this last time period. 67 was when I came to Abilene teaching, preaching. Even when I went to the police academy, they called me preacher because I would always weave the scriptures into my speeches in the police academy. And so they got to calling me preacher. Well, I didn't realize it, but I was witnessing for Yahweh at that time. But it kept growing, you know, kept growing slowly like an oak tree to what we have now, a tiny oak tree, but it's going to get big. But he said, they'll be tried, they'll be made white and tried. Well, that's what we see. That's what we have seen in this 40-something years in the wilderness. But the wicked will do wickedly. Now, why would he say that? Why would he say here that the wicked are going to go ahead and do their wickedness? They won't repent. And none of the wicked will understand. They won't understand. Yahshua said, you know the reason you can't understand? Because you can't hear my words. You can't even hear what I'm saying. Well, in this time period now that he's speaking of here, during close to the resurrection, that he said, and the last part of that verse 10 is that the wise will understand. The wise. Well, that's the ones, of course, that Yahshua said, here's a wise man, the man that finds this great pearl. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Finds this great pearl and makes a choice and then sticks with that choice. Doesn't make a choice and then turn from it and turn from it and turn from it like the elders did in the days of Samuel. In Deuteronomy, go back to Deuteronomy 30, because as you study deception, you'll see that the person has got to choose. He actually chooses to follow that deception. He won't come unto me, as Yahshua said, that he might have life. He won't come unto me for the bread of life. He chooses to follow that way of not coming to me for the bread of life. He chooses it. Well, that's what we see here now in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and notice verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth now as witnesses because everything is being written down about us in heaven and earth concerning the house of Yahweh, concerning the members, concerning the blood that is going into our bodies and shown in our face. You know, we're more and more seeing this in the animals, because we're studying their faces, we're studying their hooves, as Yahweh has shown us, because sickness and disease is shown in the face of an animal as it's shown in mankind. And of course, as Cain said to Yahweh, "You've hid your face from me." Well, of course, it means he can no longer understand what Yahweh is saying, what he puts out for him. And as Yeshua said, they won't come to the one that the scripture says, testifies of, that they might have life. They won't repent and come to him so that they might have life. So they choose this deception. And he says, "Heaven and earth is witnessing this against you." And of course, a record is being kept, "that I have set before you life and death." Everyone has that same thing set before them, life and death. And as Yeshua said, you must believe into the one sent in order to have the life or the bread of life. So I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. It was a blessing, a great blessing, that we had this trial that we had. And as we showed on the sign, "You're on trial now." You are on trial now. And hopefully to your honor. Hopefully to your honor. Well, here he says, "Therefore choose." So it's the person that's choosing this. I can't choose for him or her. I can preach, but if they're not listening, or listening with the intent of obeying, as Yahweh says, let's go back to Yochanan. I want you to compare Yahshua's writings again here with what we just read about making this choice for yourself, and no amount of convincing or preaching or arguing will change this. Either you come to me for life, as Yahshua said, and humbly submitting yourself, that's the only thing that will put you on the right track. And once you get on this right track, then you'll start to understand. But the understanding, as Daniel said, what did he say? No wicked will understand. So you've got to humbly submit to the one sent and start practicing what is taught, or you will never have understanding. Now that's what he's showing you here in these scriptures. That's what I'm showing you in these scriptures. Here in Yochanan 5 now. Yochanan 5, and notice verse 37, I believe. "And the Father himself, who has sent me, testifies on my behalf." Well, what do we look for? The testimony of Yahweh. That's all you have to look for. Now, your wickedness is there. You're not going to understand unless you do this, unless you believe first in the one sent. Now, what does he say about those who don't? Notice it. And the Father himself, who has sent me, testifies on my behalf. You have neither heard his voice." No, he's not talking to you. The people that think Yahweh is talking to them, telling them things, there may be a pig's trichna up here in your brain, shorting it out and making you hear things, but not Yahweh. You've never heard his voice or seen his shape or anything at any time, nor seen his shape, nor do you have his word abiding in you, because you won't go to the one sent. You won't believe in the one sent. Look on, he says, "The Father, Yahweh, testifies on my behalf." Do you see that? He testifies on my behalf. Well, where is that done? Notice that verse 39. "Search the scriptures." That's where he testifies of his last days branch, where Yahshua is prophesied to thither all of his donkeys. to tie them to that branch. And unless he's able to tie them to that branch, they won't be part of Yahweh's kingdom. They won't be part of Yahshua's work in these last days. They'll always be coming here, I'm sure, and maybe even be caught up with us, but Yahweh shows even then they will be cast out. Now is the time for the humiliation, the turning 100% to Yahweh, going and believing into the branch. And that gets you into Yahshua, our high priest and king, who gets you into Yahweh's kingdom. It's that simple. It's a chain you've got to follow.
Praise Yahweh.
Well, search the scriptures, he said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. Look at verse 37. The Father testifies of me. The scriptures testify of me, he said. Now look to verse 40. He said, but you will not come to me that you might have life. Well, of course not. They were going to every rabbi who told them what they wanted to hear. And as the apostle said, they're going to even tickle your ears in the last day. And they're going to butter you up. And this one is going to sit next to that one in the cafeteria and pop off all kinds of goofy things out of his mouth, showing how rebellious he can be to Yahweh. That's all said right here between the lines. I see it right there. But you will not come to me, he says. You will not come to me because your life is filled with wickedness. It's filled with envy. It's filled with murder. Yes, I've got threats from many. The last one I had was this big one where they were going to catch me out on the highway, leave my car vacant, and I was going to disappear. And this was brought out in the trial, by the way, or in the hearing. So you're not the first, you know. Take your place in line. Well, now this prophesied choice here, notice it, but he says, you will not come to me that you might have life. And that's the only place you're going to get it. There's no other place. And if you want to ride your rebellious donkey to the end, which is not far, you will burn. That's what Yahshua says. That's the judgment. You know, one of the worst things that we do when we rebel is that we teach it to our children. We say it loud enough to our wife that our children can hear. We teach it to our wives. We teach it to our husbands. And of course, these things need to be, the first thing you would have to do to make contact with Yahweh would be to repent of these sins, beg your child to forgive you, show him how stupid, ignorant you were, and beg him to come back to the house of Yahweh or her, and get back in where they belong. Still choosing, he said here, prophesied choice. It's a prophesied choice. You must get this. I'm saying that. You've got to get this. You've got to understand this. Yahshua saw their contempt. He saw their contempt for him, and he made this prophecy right here. He actually made a prophecy. You won't come to me, because he saw it in their eyes. You think I haven't seen that same thing? When I've tried to talk to certain people and I would see their lips quivering, you know, I could tell there was a fear and also a hatred mixture. And I could see their eyes. What was coming forth from their eyes was actually murder. And I'd say, oh, well, that's fine. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. This prophesying includes those having contempt today. Has he heard your words? Has Yahshua heard your words? Has Yahweh heard it and heard what you said to your children? And is that why they're also repeating those things and saying the same things now? Are they repeating your words? Look, he says to you, you won't come to me so that you can have life. Well, what are you going to have? Is it not worth the humiliation to have life? It's the only way to get it. The apostle says, I don't want you to be ignorant. They said this in several places. So they dealt with ignorance. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. The apostles dealt with just about everything that we're dealing with today, except nuclear activity and getting people ready for nuclear activity and getting the lambs ready, as Yahweh has told us to do. He tells us to enlarge your borders and get ready because these people are coming to you. I just showed you a huge leap. Well, here now in the apostles' writing in 1 Corinthians 10, I start with verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact that all our fathers were under the cloud and that all passed through the sea. They all saw and heard the same things and were all baptized unto Moshe in the cloud and in the sea. They were all, every one of them had the same chance." This is 1 Corinthians 10. "And all ate the same spiritual food," that's shown in Exodus 16:4. You can write it down, look at it later. "And all drank the same spiritual drink," that is the laws of Yahweh. The Yahweh says, "The laws that I teach," Yahshua said, "their spirit and their life." That's John 6:63, I believe. And all drank the same spiritual drink, that laws of Yahweh was given unto them. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them in..." Who is the rock? Yahweh is our rock. It's said over and over and over. And that rock was Messiah. Yes, he's the Savior, the supreme Savior of mankind. The reason Yahshua was actually planned and brought forth and that work began was for the purpose of paying, by Yahweh, paying for our sins, giving his own son for that purpose. He is the true Messiah. Yahweh is. "But with most of them..." Now, I want you to understand everything here because I want to tie it in with what I've brought you already and help you see that the apostles knew the things that I've been bringing to you in the last year. He said most. Well, we translated it most. The greater numbers is the way that it's actually written. The greater numbers of people Yahweh did not choose. This is what he's talking about. Remember, I said he tried them. They all had the same opportunity when the judgment was said, "These are not worthy." And that's what Hebrews 4 shows you. They will never enter Yahweh's rest. Hebrews 4, they were disbelievers and they were disobedient. So the disobedience, as Romans 6:16 said, made them worthy of death. So they were driven out into the nations, driven away from the house of Yahweh. If you remember, that was prophesied over and over and over by the prophets that this was going to take place. "I will drive you out," he said. "I'll drive you out and then I will make a multitude of nations out of you and let's see what your end will be. You can just go your own way, seek your lust and silver and gold and so forth, and what will it be to you in the end?" Remember that song? "But with most of them," that is the greater numbers of them, "Yahweh was not well pleased, so their bodies were scattered all over the wilderness." Well, what that conjures up in everybody's mind there is that he killed a bunch of people and just left them laying throughout, their bodies laying throughout the sands of the desert. Now that's in everybody's mind when they read that scripture, because it's totally translated wrong. We added the words "their bodies," if you see that in parentheses. We added the words "bodies" there. Shouldn't never be there, but somebody thought that's what he meant, so they put it in there. King James, New King James, Old King James is too, did it. But if you'd read it, please, that not he was not pleased. That is, so the judgment was said against them, no, they will never enter my rest. Drive them out. Well, these were driven out, of course, time after time after time after time. They were driven throughout all that known world over there, and they became a multitude of nations, as was prophesied in Genesis 48 and 49. Remember that? Praise Yahweh. Well, with the greater numbers, he was not pleased, so were scattered over the wilderness. So he scattered them over the wilderness. Remember the word wilderness in Revelations, where it says he went into the wilderness, taken into the wilderness of God worshipers? He says, don't go there on your own. Don't go into these nations. They're the ones that's defiling your land. They defile the land. Don't go near them. Don't practice their laws. Don't practice Christmas, Halloween. He named all these things in the Holy Scriptures. Don't go to them. Well, these chose it, so he drove them out and drove them to the nations and says, you will never enter my rest in doing so. He says, now these things are examples for us to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Remember, we saw that in the apostles. Don't be ignorant of this stuff. Your lust, your appetite can get you in as much trouble as your sexual lust can. Your appetite. And he's saying, stick a knife through your throat, the proverb said. If you're tempted with this, if your taste, oh, I just can't resist. This is a weakness of mine. Well, burn in hell with it if that's what you want to do. But that's what you're going to do if you don't repent. Do you ever hear that say, oh, this is just a weakness of mine? Yeah, well, that weakness won't be in the kingdom. You better straighten up your backbone and get some strength in it, like Yahshua said, and start turning from these sins. You better humble yourself to Yahweh and start believing in the one sent, believing my words and listening and obeying them. So do not become worshipers of gods. That's what your lust, your appetite is a God-worshipping tool. In fact, the tongue is the greatest one of all, the apostle Jacob said, or Yada said. Praise Yahweh. Worshippers of gods, as some of them were, these were the greater numbers of them, were worshipers of gods. And they did it for money. They brought forth, even in Samuel's day, they were bringing forth Easter and Halloween. And Isaiah said they're keeping their memorials to the Rabin, worshiping the dead. They made it All Saints Day now, Halloween. That's keeping memorials to the dead. 24-hour period of this. We got one now coming up this Monday where they're getting together celebrating all the wars and killings that have gone on since America was settled. And we're celebrating that great day to the gods, not to Yahweh, but to the gods. Well, he says, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. This is the God worship that he is talking about here. He just named all of it here and said, this is the way they're doing it, playing. They eat and they drink. All of these things are getting them into trouble. He's talking about adultery, fornication, bestiality, sodomy, the defilement of the land, the body, the air, and so forth. God worship. Nor let us commit sexual sins. Notice this up here is different from the sexual sins. Nor let us commit sexual sins, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. Now that looks like he zapped about 23,000 people there and left them laying, don't he? Well, not so. In fact, they were proven to be unjust for the kingdom. My time is up. We'll come back to this point right here. And I'll show you what that word means the next time I speak. The next time I speak, okay? But keep that in mind. No, he didn't zap them. They're not there buried somewhere in the wilderness. But they were judged guilty. And they said they'll never, Yahweh says, they'll never be in my kingdom. They'll never partake of my rest that I offered them. And only you right now is being offered that rest. And he said the rest that I will bring forth in the last days will be glorious, because it's like Yahweh's rest. May Yahweh bless you, brethren. I'll turn the services back to the next leader.
I love you.